have you actually said that the threats, the imminent attack against the World Trade Center, was deliberately ignored so that a war could be justifiable?
No, I have certainly not said that. That is not my view. There is nothing in the article which says that or implies that. What I have done in this article is to set out the evidence of what happened before 9/11, what happened on the day, which is very instructive, and what happened afterwards, and leave other people to make their judgment. Certainly, I do believe that there are some unexplained facts which do require further investigation, but I'm not imposing my judgment on the facts. I am making three key points. What really drives American policy, in my view, is not the global war on terrorism, but the neoconservative statement of policy called Projects for the New America Century, which was written for the Bush people in September 2000, that's a year before 9/11. Secondly, that 9/11, terrible as it was, provided a pretext for launching wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, which were already planned for other reasons, and there's plenty of evidence to support that. And thirdly, that the main purpose behind these wars was to secure by force control over the major remaining sources of oil in the Caspian region and the Middle East. When it is estimated, and it's against this background, that by 2010 the Muslim world will control 60% of the world's oil production, and even more significantly, 95% of the remaining global oil export capacity.
We'll come on to the oil issue in a moment, if we may. But just to challenge what you said very categorically there, no, I did not say that there was a deliberate ignoring of the threat to the World Trade Center going on. And yet, in your actual article, which I have in front of me, you suggest that on the day itself, U.S. air security operations could have been deliberately stood down on September the 11th.
Indeed, this is one very important part of the evidence. And I think it's really quite astonishing. On September 11th itself, the planes were hijacked between 7:45 and 8:10 a.m. in the morning. But in the next hour and a half, till the Pentagon was hit at 9:38 a.m., not a single fighter plane was scrambled to investigate from the U.S. Andrews Air Force Base, which is just 10 miles from Washington, even though there was in place a standard intercept procedure for hijacked aircraft if they go off the flight plan, which in the previous year had been operated 67 times.
So the question I ask is,
was the intercept procedure stood down? And if so, why? I can't answer that question, but I think it's a very important question which should be answered.
But you're suggesting it could have been deliberately stood down rather than it being an error or incompetence.
I don't suggest it's either deliberate or error or incompetence. The truth is, I am actually a believer in cock-up much more than in conspiracy. But I'm not making a judgment on this. I don't think any of us can answer this question at the present time. I think there needs to be much more investigation of the facts surrounding that. How do you explain it?
And in terms of the oil-based motivation for going to war with Iraq, would you say that not only the Bush administration, but also Tony Blair's government had that foremost in their minds when they decided to intervene?
Well, if you look at the planning of the war, which, as I say, happened before 9/11, first of all, in the case of Afghanistan, the U.S. tried to do a deal with the Taliban government for the construction of a secure oil pipeline from the Caspian Sea. The Caspian region is widely regarded as being the biggest available remaining supply of oil in the world after the Middle East. Now, they tried to do a deal with the Taliban. It failed. And then U.S. officials in mid-July 2001, that's about a month and a half, 2 months before 9/11, stated to a former Pakistani foreign secretary, who I think is a very good source, that military action against Afghanistan would go ahead by the middle of October. That was said 2 months before 9/11. In the case of Iraq, the Baker Institute, Baker being the senior official in the first Bush government, the Baker Institute of Public Policy produced a report in April 2001, once again several months before 9/11, for the Cheney Energy Task Force, which stated that because Iraq destabilized the flow of oil to the international markets in the Middle East, and I quote, military intervention was necessary.
Can I just ask you, can I just dive in there, just ask you one question? In fact, two. One, the first one that comes to mind immediately. Why didn't you express these feelings when you were in government?
Well, I was, if you recall, the Minister for Environment. This is not my policy area.
But if you felt so strongly, you could have really weighed in there with a few comments and perhaps made a few other people sit up and take notice.
Well, that's perfectly true, if I'd had the information available then. But the truth is, I was a departmental minister concentrating on the environment, and the information now available to me wasn't available then.
And what do you say to the US Embassy spokesman in London reacting to your comments, who said that Mr. Meach's fantastic allegations are monstrous and monstrously offensive, and they would be so even more so if they came from someone serious or credible?
Well, they would say that, wouldn't they? I think what they should do is read the evidence. I quote an enormous amount of factual evidence. It is not a judgmental piece. If any of the facts are wrong, then let that be stated, and we can look again at what the truth is. I think all of the facts are correct, and if the facts are correct, then I believe that the explanation that I have given to them is right. He does say, especially his, that's my assertion, that the US government knowingly stood by while terrorists killed some 3,000 innocents in New York, Pennsylvania and Virginia. I never said that. I repeat, I have not said that. Nothing in the article implies it.
I am
saying is that the American government did have a good deal of detailed intelligence, which for reasons I do not understand, they do not appear to have acted on.
And in the context of the Hutton inquiry, do you think that the British government and Tony Blair dissembled when they put forward the justification for war by not saying that oil was part of that justification?
Well,
or in fact, you really must be saying that he straightforwardly lied.
No, I'm certainly not saying anything of the kind. Certainly, the Prime Minister of the UK has, of course, his own reasons, his own motivations, which he has stated as to why he took Britain into war. I certainly think we must accept those. All that I'm saying in this article is about US motivations, which is quite another matter. And I do believe that America, which in 1990 got 57% of its total energy demand from domestic sources, that's likely to be down to 39% by 2010, is desperately looking around the world for the remaining hydrocarbon supplies, oil and gas.
And that
this was a major motive behind going to war.
Mr. Meach, hasn't that always been the case? Do you accept that that wars were always about resources or land? It's only the 20th century that created ideological wars, really, isn't it?
But the key point, which I think you're missing, is that I am saying that this war, both wars, are supposed to be about the global war on terrorism. I agree with what you've just said, but that is not what the US government is saying. The US government is saying that this is about a thorough, remorseless war against global terrorism. If you look at the failure of the Americans to take action, which they could have done, for example, with regard to bin Laden, the leaders of the Pakistan's two Islamist parties negotiated his extradition to Pakistan to stand trial, but the US official said casting our objectives too narrowly risked a premature collapse of the international effort if by some luck chance bin Laden was captured. And just let me make one other quote. The US chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff himself, the top US military man, General Myers, said, and I quote, "The goal has never been to get bin Laden."